This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Plain blues, man, I got the Rust Belt blues.
Isn't that nice? And it segs so beautifully into our exploration of a report, Rust Belt Cities and Their Burden of Legacy Costs. Stephen Ide is a senior fellow of the Manhattan Institute. He has written this report, and we're going to find out all about it right now from him. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It is our pleasure to have you on the show. I see you're a doctor of philosophy. How do you find yourself writing these reports?
Well, my work focuses on state and local fiscal issues, so I've looked at, you know, the problems of debt, taxes, pensions in places like California, Detroit, Michigan, and here in New York City. And in this report, I take a kind of broad look at those fiscal challenges as they exist in the Rust Belt, in the former industrial areas in the Midwest and Northeast.
Okay. So let's talk about I hate to be selfish about this stuff, but Pennsylvania does appear in this report. So can you give us a little bit of an insight into that?
Well, you know, the challenges that places like Erie, Reading, Scranton, and Pennsylvania are facing are in many respects similar to what's going on in Michigan, Ohio, and even Connecticut and Massachusetts. You know, long-term decline in the manufacturing jobs and the tax base related to that. But at the same time that the population has been declining and also the poverty rate has been increasing in these places, their debt load, their per capita debt load and inflation adjusted terms has been increasing, and they've also been increasing the amount that they owe for pensions and retiree health care liabilities. So at the same time that they're basically increasing the promises, their long-term fiscal promises that they're making, the tax base that stands behind those promises has become weaker and weaker, raising questions about, you know, where are all this is headed. In some cases, you know, you've seen bankruptcy, you've seen insolvency. But in all cases, what you see is more and more money from the budget going to pay for the costs of the past instead of strengthening services in the present.
Yeah, you got a smaller pot, and you have increasing poverty. It seems like a recipe for disaster in terms of where we go from here, because I think it says in your report that a lot of these places that are Rust Belt areas and cities, they've kind of held their own on this. And it's like, I guess, trying to tread water when you're drowning. What's the prognosis for the future?
Right. Not everybody is going to be as bad off as, say, Flint, Michigan, Youngstown, Ohio, Detroit. I mean, these are places with big challenges. Scranton's poverty rate is much lower than those places. But at the same time, Scranton is pretty far off from where New York City and Boston are right now. I mean, those are real vibrant comeback cities. So most cities kind of find themselves on a spectrum, but they have to be very realistic in terms of what they can expect in the near term and also what they can affect by means of policy. I mean, there are just so many factors that cannot be influenced at the local level.
Okay, so should they, I hate to say things like this, should they be looking to other levels to help them out? You know, if they can't afford it, do you think that they'll have to, I don't know, in Scranton's case, Steve, which is the one I think about a lot, is they've been a distressed city for a very long time. Some have suggested that perhaps the one thing that might be able to save them is a bankruptcy filing. But then people say, well, if Scranton files bankruptcy, it gives a judge kind of a leverage to come in and slap taxes on people that they can't afford. So they look like they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, I mean, Pennsylvania, to my knowledge, has never had a like full-on bankruptcy. I mean, there have been cities that tried to file for bankruptcy, like Harrisburg. Scranton, it's kind of this, you know, this cycle of brinksmanship where they're almost on the verge of insolvency, then somehow they back off. It's going to give at a certain point. I mean, the fundamentals are so weak. I prefer state oversight, whether you're talking about a bankruptcy or not. I prefer to see state governments kind of step up and take control. I mean, in the case of Pennsylvania, you do have a history of the state government trying to do something for many cities, but you know, a lot of people are dissatisfied with how far that has gotten. So maybe at a certain point, Pennsylvania is going to need to revisit its approach to state oversight as well.
Yeah, and Pennsylvania, of course, as a state, has its own gaping fiscal challenges based upon the kind of things that you just talked about, which are pension obligations.
Right, yeah. You know, that's a situation in Connecticut as well, where you have a city that Hartford, the capital, is now on the verge of bankruptcy, but the state also has one of the worst-funded pension systems in the nation. And so local officials in Hartford are saying, wait a minute, you guys are going to come in and tell us how to get our finances in shape? Like, look at your own books. But and that's a pretty legitimate criticism because the states have been so fiscally derelict in so many ways. But, you know, at the local level, sometimes it just becomes this political logjam, and politically speaking, they just can't, you know, summon up the strength they need to make the decisions that they need to make. At the state, when the state comes in and the state is willing to be the bad guy, sometimes that creates a little bit of political space. And ultimately, I think the states are just going to fall in the state's lap one way or the other. The federal government is not coming to the rescue. It's just a question of when the states intervene and how.
And also, Pennsylvania is saddled with a business tax that is one of the highest in the country. So even trying to say to people, listen, come to Pennsylvania, it just seems to be such a tall order. Of course, Pennsylvania has also shed a lot of manufacturing. You know, locally, we've shed some things, not as obvious as the collapse of the steel industry, per se, in the western part of the state. But where we live, over the years, I mean, we've had the slow decline where we used to have a vibrant mining situation because we have anthracite coal. We had also production factories that made things like dresses, flat screen TVs, and now, or TV screens. Now it seems not as optimistic that, you know, industry wants to come to Pennsylvania at all.
Yeah, in terms of the tax situation, I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty about manufacturing. I mean, you know, maybe some manufacturing could come back someday if you're talking about higher, you know, manufacturing that's higher quality, you know, fewer jobs. Who knows? But the tax issue, which is the first point you raised, look, when you have these elevated debt and retirement benefit liabilities, businesses rightly see those as a tax increase waiting to happen. I mean, if your debt is very, very high, it's difficult to lower taxes. And if anything, it looks like they're just going to have to go up at a certain point. So, you know, to at least hold the line on taxes, you got to somehow come to terms with these legacy cost burdens, and that is something that you can do. Cities do have authority over their budgets. Like, let's talk about that, and let's stop speculating about, you know, the global economy, which is going to be influenced by so many things, so many other factors that can't be controlled at the municipal level.
When you say coming to terms, what do you mean by that? I mean, are they just going to have to, in the future, you know, open contracts, or when contracts are up, be much more harsh when it comes to the negotiations of these municipal contracts?
I think in many blue state situations, which is the common, which is what you have throughout the Rust Belt, government unions do have more influence over their compensation packages, that benefits the common good. We're going to have a discussion about that. And in terms of the retirement benefit promises, look, if there hasn't been any substantive economic progress over the last few decades, it's a really bad idea for you to be making pension promises that are not going to come due in like 50 years, because who knows where you will be in 50 years. I mean, hopefully you won't be that much worse off, but are you going to be like substantially better? Are you going to be back to where you were in the 1950s? Probably not. So let's start budgeting for the near term instead of pushing these legacy costs way off into the future. You know, it's just an economic Hail Mary to think that you're going to be able to pay these, that you're going to be better positioned to pay these things off 50 years from now than you are now.
You also address in your report property taxes and how much of that income states are dependent on. And where we live, Steve, I must say that issue is very important to the people who live in our area of Pennsylvania, although in other areas not so much. How does that play into your report?
Well, there are a couple of ways that the property tax issue becomes salient in these debates about the future Rust Belt. I mean, you know, property taxes are very high in Connecticut, New Jersey. The property tax politically very charged issue because they're already very high and people don't want to see them go higher. The other issue is like what has happened to your property tax base. As the economy has changed, more and more of the tax base, and I know this is an issue in Pennsylvania, has been occupied by not tax-exempt institutions, higher ed, medical centers. They don't pay property taxes. And so they've been growing. They provide lots of, well-paying jobs. That's great, but they don't provide the same amount of benefit in terms of the city's budget. So having these discussions about pilots or, where to find an adequate level of revenues when so much of your tax base, I mean, if all the action in your tax base is on the nonprofit level and your for-profit side, not a lot happening, then that does tend to create a kind of imbalance. And, very few cities have come to a really adequate solution with that issue.
Yeah, I wonder if the day will come when those entities that are quote-unquote nonprofit are just put on the tax rolls like other properties are, and what that could mean to cities who often find themselves financially strapped because entities are buying everything up.
Well, it's really complicated because when you talk about, hospitals, most of their money is coming from the government indirectly one way or the other. So whether it's, Medicaid or some other, or Medicare. So if you're taxing them, maybe you're increasing the revenues coming into city governments, but you would be increasing costs for government on some other end. So it's a very complicated issue. When we, came up with these ideas to keep public charities exempt from property taxes, we didn't envision the type of situation you'd have now where you have, executives making millions of dollars a year, these sophisticated enterprises. But just levying a property tax on them and taxing them like you would any other business is, probably not a good idea and certainly not practical in the near term.
All right. Based upon your writing of this report, did anything in here surprise you dramatically, or was this pretty much what you expected to find?
Well, it was kind of what I expected to find. I mean, I think there's an important discussion to be had about, that there are differences between these cities, that poverty is not necessarily destiny. There are poor cities that are doing okay. Some cities, Pittsburgh has had just catastrophic population losses, and yet, most people think Pittsburgh has been one of the most successful, one of the most inspiring comeback city stories in the nation. So, we can't just be totally fatalistic. City government, city officials can't throw up their hands and say, well, what do you expect? China's just going to bury us. We have to focus on things that we can control and try to make improvements, even if those improvements are going to be marginal and they're not going to bring us back to the good old days.
Stephen Ide, we enjoyed the conversation about the future of cities like Scranton, which is in our coverage area, and some of the other things that you've had to say about Rust Belt cities and their burden of legacy costs. You are with the Manhattan Institute, and we appreciate this interview today.
Thank you so much for your interest in my research.
Absolutely.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.